Chapter 1, 1 John chapter number 1. I want to preach to you this morning about the full joy of a Christian. How many of you could use that? Full joy? You can have like the gas tank, it's empty or half full or three quarters or a full tank. I believe I'd like to have the full tank of joy, amen? And go farther that way. And the Bible says that the prophet went 40 days in the strength of that meat. Well, we want a joy that'll help us go a long ways. Amen. This life will have sorrows. It'll have temptations. It'll have plenty of things that don't go the way we ought to. We can't have people the way we want them all the time. And we can't have situations the way we want them all the time. The best thing to do is to learn to deal with situations and things as they are. There's no better way to do that than with joy. Amen. Joy is they say that happiness is what's happening, but joy, that is a glory and a type of happiness that exists even when things are not going well or the way we want them to go. Sometimes things will be going well and it's still not the way you want it to go. Amen. Amen. You might not think you're getting enough fun or enough entertainment or enough whatever it is you're searching for in this life that's not godly. The Bible said that we should stay away from the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. We ought to set our affection on things above, not on things on this earth. Amen. And so a Christian that's piddling around down here with all these things that are set to pass away is not going to have any real and true joy. Amen. So we ought to set our hearts on things above, on godly things. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning is the full joy of a Christian. John tells us right here in 1 John how to have that full joy. Let's read. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. I just had a thought about this verse number 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. You know what this world acts like? This world acts like that they themselves established this earth and established their politics and established their entertainments and established their way of life. And then at some point, Christians showed up and started throwing a wet blanket on their party and telling them they shouldn't do this and they shouldn't do that. Well, I've got news for you. God's people were here first. Amen. Amen. The king of Israel, Ahab, when he found Elijah, he said, "Hey, thou that troublest Israel." He said, "No, sir, it ain't me that's causing the problem, it's you." Amen? So this world, they want to go to their concerts and they want to have their gay pride parades and all this stuff that this old backwoods, old time religion, you're just not getting with the program. You're the one that's not getting with the program. Hey, godliness is the only program in town. I suggest you get on God's bus. God's going to burn your bus. Amen. He's not going to send no terrorists to bomb it like the Islamic folks do. He's going to do it himself, amen? And he's going to show up one day and going to find out that you're the invader. The world, that's what I'm talking about. That's who I'm talking about. If there's any worldly folks here, you might want to get saved. Amen. Get on the right side because we is here first. Amen. They say, "Well, I don't like this old time preaching. We think this new time preaching." Well, look at this new time your new time's preaching has produced. That's right. Amen. You should have minded your business. Amen. Right. Hey, we was here first. Right. Amen. The preacher that stood up and said, "You ought not do that." That kind of preacher was here when the country had some form of decency about it. Right. Amen. Amen. This do what you want to stuff has produced the generations of heathen. I'm talking about heathen. Amen. I tell you what, if you'd have took one of these modern day boys walking around town with their pants sagging down around their knees, one of them old timers back in 1950 would have paddled their behind right there on the street. And there wouldn't have been no child welfare services to do nothing about it. Amen. Fella come down, "Did you whoop my boy?" "Yeah, and I'll whoop you too if you don't straighten him out." That's the way they used to play. You say, well, I don't think it ought to be done that way. Well, why are you locking your doors at night then? They didn't lock their doors back there. Why are you carrying mace? Why does your wife carry a pistol in her pocketbook? Your wife didn't carry a pistol in her pocketbook in 1920. Because your new way of doing things ain't turned out right. You ain't got no joy because of it too. We'll learn a little bit. Got a little sidetracked, but that verse jumped out at me. Amen. I'd like to preach 3 hours this morning, but I got too much snot in my head. My head's all stopped up. I ain't going to be able to do that. Don't worry, you'll get home before Tom Brady plays. You should have just stayed home. If Tom Brady's on your mind, you're messing up the service. Amen. Back in the Old Testament, when they got that worldly stuff in the camp, it threw a damper on the whole. It set the whole nation of Israel back. God said, hey, Moses, you're going to have to do something before we go any further. He said, hey, Joshua, you're going to have to do something before we go any further. Right. Yep. Because there's sin in the camp, something going on, somebody being a hindrance. Somebody being a hindrance. So I don't know, we come to church and folks just ain't shouting. About half of you need to get right with God, that's why. See, I'm smiling. I'm being nice. But you still need to get right with God.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Don't like your tone. Well, let me give it to you another way. You need to get right with God, dear people. Sounds the same coming both ways, don't it? I don't like that hard preaching. Okay, dear wonderful people. You're so lovely and so wonderful. But you're full of hell. And you can't even hardly say that in a good, nice, pleasant. Full of hell and you need to get right with God. That's what you need to do. Amen. Act like people want bad news given to them like it was good news. That ain't good news that you in a bad shape. Amen. So, well, we're not in bad shape. What are you doing at church then? This is not the Elks Lodge. You come to church to get right with God. You didn't come to church to meet a new business contact. That's what people go to church for. I had a man tell me. He was the pastor of a church. He left that church, moved to Folkestone, and he said, I'm going to the First Baptist. I said, where are you going to church at now? He said, I'm going to First Baptist Church because that's where all the businessmen are. Be some good business contacts for my new business. That business is going straight to hell. I don't care if he makes $1 billion of it. That's not why you go to church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You say, well, I just come to church to be a better person. Well, see, there you are talking bad about yourself. See, people don't even realize what they're saying. Evidently, if you need to be a better person, that means you are a bad person, just like I said. So why are you fussing at me about it? I'm trying to help you out. You went in the bedroom to get a whooping from your daddy. He didn't lick you on top of your head and busted your bottom, didn't he? Amen. So, Brother Mike, I sure would like to have some joy. Well, quit living bad, first of all. That ain't really one of the points of the message, but doing right go a long ways. Amen. You can't do right because you're doing too much wrong. Amen. You got something living in its place. Well, let's read the passage now. Verse number 3. That which we have seen, that just come down from the heavens. You have to forgive me for the extra little rabbit trail there. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Hard to fellowship with somebody you don't like.
Amen.
How can two walk together lest they be agreed, except they be agreed? It's hard to do that. Amen? So he says that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So in verse 3 he says, we're telling you this, we're telling you what we've seen, we're telling you what we've heard. He said, the reason we're telling you is so you can have fellowship with us. And by the way, once you start having fellowship with us, we're having fellowship with the Father. So it's not just some, well, I heard a fellow tell me one time, I knocked on his door and was talking to him a little while. And he said, well, I just served Jesus in my own way. So I guess you and Jesus got your own thing going on. Doesn't work that way. Worship, contrary to the modern view of it. See, modern day worship is put a disco light in your church. get your Beats by Dr. Dre and start, you know, jumping around like a bunch of idiots, and you think that's fellowship. That's not fellowship. That's a bunch of fleshly self-expression. Fellowship, real fellowship with God, is two folks that are agreed. God is holy and God is spiritual, and that stuff is earthly and fleshly. And if you read your Bible, of course, nobody reads the Bible anymore, but you'll find out those things don't mix at all. They just don't do that. Amen? So this modern generation, all they're really doing is worshiping themselves. Be a better you. Why? What are you going to do for yourself once you're a better you? You're not going to do... Why be friends with yourself, amen? Why love yourself more? Listen, if you had a friend... Now, let me make this as real as I can. I've made the point before, but you've got to repeat things to people so they understand it. You've got a man, he calls himself your friend, but he borrows $20 from you and he don't pay it back. And he tells you he'll be there on time to give you a ride because your car's broke down and he doesn't show up. Or he shows up 5 hours after your appointment's already been canceled. And he does that to you continually, continually, continually. Are you going to put your trust in that man very long? Some people are foolish enough to do that. But the right answer is no. I'm not going to continue to put my love and support and put my trust and my confidence in somebody who continually lets me down. Makes good sense, don't it? Well, listen, do you know who does that to you more than anybody else in the world? Yeah. You!
Yeah.
You say, I'm going to lose 20 pounds and you gain 30. I'm going to stop treating my body this way and you treat it worse.
Yeah.
I'm going to be better this year. And that's gone by January the 15th. You let you down more than anybody else in the world. Why would you put any more stock in self-esteem? Why would you do that? What you need, my friends, is Christ's esteem. You need to esteem Him better. You need to think more of Him. You need to love Him more. You need to trust Him more. You need to depend on Him more. You need to get closer to Him more. You need to fellowship with Him more. You know what happens when you fellowship with you, right? You're driving down the road, and there's nobody else in the car with you, but you're talking to you. Boy, it's been a long time since I got over there with them boys that's been drinking. Maybe I'll just... See, you're talking to you. You fellowshipping with you. I wish it was the old way, or I wish it was this new way, or I wish it was some other way than it is now. That's just you talking with you about junk that ain't going to get you no good place. Been married 15 years and got your wife. Now she don't look like she did the day when you married her because you put her through hell and wore her out.
Right. Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, well, I'm just... And some 20-year-old blonde walks by and, oh, my soul. You're talking to the wrong person, amen?
Right.
You're fellowshipping with the wrong person. What you ought to be doing, talking to somebody that's got some holiness about her. God, what do you reckon I ought to do about that 20-year-old blonde right there? What do you reckon he's going to say? You reckon God's going to tell you to go get her number? Just be yourself. He's going to say, run! Run! That's what he's going to say. Amen, that's what he's going to say. Well, Lord, I've woke up this morning. You've allowed me to draw more breath. What do you think I should do? You think I should go straight to HBO or should I open my Bible for a little while? Now you're talking, amen? Now you're talking to somebody who can tell you what to do, amen? Fellowship with the Father. Lord, I'm trying to run this church here. Should I know the world needs the gospel. Should I go and use their message to attract them in here to you? Or should I use your methods because you have something for them that'll help them? Which one should I do? It's a fool. Listen, it is a blank fool that will stand and look at a group of people and say they need what I have and then use what they already have to get them in here. Number one, that's a lie. That's a lie. If you say they need what I have, and listen, if you're not saved, you need what I have. Amen? You need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I'm saying you need what I have, but I'm going to use what you already have to get you in here, that's giving credence to what you've got, and that's your problem to begin with. Why would I put on a rock concert in a church to try to get somebody in here? So, oh, by the way, you need Jesus. Why? They got rock and roll, you got rock and roll. They got rap, you got rap. They got concerts, you got concerts. They got plays, you got plays. God didn't call no plays. God called for preaching. He said, I chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, and the foolishness of that preaching will take those that don't believe and make them walk out the door. I ain't never going. That wasn't no fun. Amen. Well, go on and do what you want. Listen, well, I think the world's a bad place. Well, let it go on and be bad. Let it go on and be bad. Listen, if they don't want what God has, that's all they get. That's all the world gets. We ought to have compassion about that, but the plain hard truth about it is that's all they'll get. And I don't want none of it. Amen. Not in here. Amen? Amen. 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 You say why? Because it doesn't gender fellowship. You ever seen a fella in football pads on the golf course? Don't make sense, does it? There ain't no fellowship right there, is there? Amen. You ever seen a Confederate flag at a Black Panthers gathering? That's because they don't mix, see? That's why you don't have rock concerts at church. That stuff don't mix. It's not in the same recipe. Amen. Listen, people doing it their own way. I'm going to do it my own way. And they're so full of grief, so depressed. Nothing goes right for them. Even when they have a good time, they wake up the next day. Something's missing. Darling, we've been married a while, but I've got to leave you because something's missing. It's the joy of the Holy Spirit that you're missing. Amen. You can have it. You can have it. But you're going to have to discipline yourself. The salvation's free. The joy of the Lord takes discipline, though. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And look at what verse 4 says. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. He said, the things that I'm writing to you right here will help you have full joy. Not just a quarter tank of joy. You know what you need? You need a joy that you can get in here and say amen on Sunday and be glad about what you believe, but it lasts longer than somebody at the break room on Monday say you're an extremist or you're a fanatic. Yes, you may as well go ahead and own it. We are fanatical. You ought to be fanatical. The politicians say these right-wing extreme Christians, forget the right wing, but we ought to be extreme Christians. Amen. Ain't that better than extremely burning in a lake of fire when you're dead? Yeah. Amen. They always use these phrases and these labels to kind of make you feel bad about, like, in religious arguments, they say, well, that's Arminianism. Oh, well, you won that argument. That's Calvinism. Oh, I guess we better. People are afraid of labels. You're going to have to learn that labels don't hurt you at all.
Sure.
You feel good?
Right.
Dunce. Do you feel any worse than you did before? No. Nate, stick. Listen, when I was a boy, now this is a sensitive age that we live in. Very sensitive age that we live in. But when we were a kid, you say something offensive. Oh, I'm so hurt, so devastated by what you just said. We had a little trick to make all of that hurt and anxiety go away when we were kids. We would skip along and say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Words don't matter.
Right.
You guys are hateful. Throw away your Bible. I don't want to appear as hateful. They said the same thing to Jesus. He didn't stop him from going to the cross. Listen, if you read your Bible, I know you're watching Days of Our Lives and The Walking Dead, and that's really where you're getting the direction in your life. But if you read your Bible, you'd find out that God's men and God's women, they got opposition from Genesis to Revelation. It's never going to change till Revelation 19. Never going to change. Never going to change. They're always going to be mad at you. They're invaders. Amen. The sinners, from the beginning, it was God. In the beginning, God. Until you can change that verse, not one man has a right to have a good time in his own way out there in the world. As long as it's against, and that includes you, by the way. It's God's world. Amen? One of these days, we'll find a way to make a man in the test tube and we'll prove God wrong. You got to use your own dirt. Got to use your own dirt. I mean, don't use all the ingredients that God provided you and make a man claim you did something. God did that before he had a test tube. God made a man before he had the periodic table of elements. You studied for 5,000 years and then produced some clone of a lamb? Congratulations. I hope it tasted good when it died. Leg of lamb. Anybody get that? Because that's all you got. You make a man, you make yourself a man, shake your fist in the face of God, that man going to die one of these days. Amen. And so are you, old great scientist. Amen. You say, why are you preaching to us about that? Because your kids are going to schools where they're teaching this stuff. Oh, we're all Christians and we believe just like you. Don't fuss at us. Hey, you better go home and fuss at your kids and tell them not to pay attention to that junk coming out of their schools. Amen. Amen. Boy, this message has took an extreme turn to the left. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. We said, Brother Mike, how can I get full joy? Well, he said, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Let me say, number one, there's joy in declaration. Yeah. Brother Mike, I got saved years ago and I've been coming to church and I read my Bible at least once a month and I just don't know. I mean, I just don't have the joy I should. You need to be declaring the gospel on a daily basis. If you don't, you won't have joy, and I won't have joy, and Brother Nathan won't have joy, and Brother Curtis and the rest of the deacons won't have joy. You don't get joy just because you got the title of pastor or leader in the church. That's not where your joy comes from. He said, look back in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare unto you. There's a reason we're declaring it to you, so you can have fellowship with us, and I'm telling you this, so your joy can be full. I just gave you the Mike Easter version of 1 John chapter 1. That's exactly what he said. You know, you don't think it's true because you get offended every time somebody doesn't agree with you, but I guarantee if you went out tomorrow, because most people got the day off tomorrow, if you went out tomorrow and knocked on somebody's door and they cussed you out and slammed the door in your face because you was telling them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, I guarantee you'd go home and feel a little joy down in your soul. You say, why? Because the Bible says, count it all joy when they laugh at you, when they mock you, when they scourge you, when you suffer for the name of Christ. He said, count it all joy. This is something to be happy about. You say, why? Because you've taken a little part in the sufferings that Christ suffered. Suffered for his name. Amen. So you got this, preachers mostly, but a lot of Christians have this unusual expectation. They get saved, they're going to tell all their friends are going to get saved, and every sermon that they preach, people are going, but listen, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, he's the way of life, doesn't it say all those good things? But it also says he's a stone of stumbling. He's a rock of offense. And I guarantee you, you go out and start witnessing to people about the gospel, they're going to say, man, I don't believe that. Man, I don't think you ought to be telling people that. And they'll start fussing at you and arguing about it. But the declaration of the gospel is, number one, the power of God. Romans 1:16, it's the power of God unto salvation. But number two, it's obedience to your Lord and Savior. Because he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The church has got to the place where it has to have social programs or it's not a church. We got to feed the poor and we got to pay people's light bills. And No. It may come to that at some point. It may include that at some point. But it's not even on the top five list of things. There were beggars begging in the street. They said, hey, Peter, the first pope, for goodness sake. Peter, we need some gold down here. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. Get up and walk. You know what Peter said right there, don't you? It's better to let a man walk on his own than it is to feed him while he's down. Boy, I just went against every major university. You know what the Bible says? Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. You're not going to do nothing about the poor. Amen? So what's the best thing you can do for them? Tell them about Jesus. They get in the church. They get fussed at by a mean old preacher. They start doing better. And when you start doing better, you start doing better. Does that make sense? I mean, that's country logic, but it makes sense. Yeah. Amen? When you start doing better, you start doing better. When you're just lazy, you're just broke. Yeah, that's right. When you start doing better, you'll do better financially. Yeah. Amen? I never will forget there's a young man come in here, he didn't have no job. I'm sympathetic to that. Helped him out a little bit, I did. And so did the church, helped him out a little bit. So I really need something. I said, look here, if you can't find a job, go mow your neighbor's yard for free. Say, hey, I'll just do this for free. He said, what do you mean? I need a job that pays. The Bible says in all labor there's profit. You know, he looked at me like I was crazy. I ain't doing that. And he went on. Same condition he's always been to this day. But listen here, the thing about it is, you go mow your neighbor's yard. You know what? When I owned my own roofing company, I put ads in the paper. Isn't that the modern way? I did everything short of putting a commercial on TV. I put ads in the paper. I told the people that worked for me to tell their friends if they had a leak, call Mike and he'll fix it right up. You know, we do all these things. But you know where I got most of my roofing jobs from? From putting a roof on somebody's house in a neighborhood and some fellow wonder right over there, hey, you think you could fix my roof? Who knows what that fellow would have done if he had just took the advice, went over there and mowed his neighbor yard, maybe the neighbor on the other side of that. People don't even know who's your neighbor. Oh, Miss Jones or something. And the person on the other side of them, you definitely don't know. Never know. But the Bible says in all labor there's profit. Amen. Don't know where that come from, but there it is. It just showed up in the sermon, amen. Well, but you go out and you try to do what the Lord tells you to do and be obedient to what God has commanded you to do, and up will show that joy in your life. Amen. I know it's true. I'm not guessing it's true because that's what it said. It's what it said and I applied it and it's true. You just get in a dry spell where you're not witnessing for the Lord, and you'll see that joy begin to diminish. And then he says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. There's joy in fellowship together. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but the instruction of that assembly is when you come, you provoke one another to love and good works. You know, you might come in here and say, nobody in here likes me. They're all religious fanatics. And somebody walk up to you after that and say, hey, buddy, how you doing? It's real good to see you. And ain't nobody shook your hand, told you it was good to see you in the last 10 years. All of a sudden, oh, I kind of like that. How many people have we come in here, as mean as the preacher is, how many people have come in here and said, everybody's so nice and friendly? Now, you can't very well leave a service here and go home and say, nobody cares about me. You can't very well do that, can you? Well, you know what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1? It says, to the praise of His glory, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood. Mm-hmm. Just skip about 3 or 4 weeks worth of service and you'll be sitting down on your couch at the house. Nobody cares about me. They hadn't come by to see me. They ain't thinking about me. They ain't praying about me. You don't know. You don't know if they're thinking about you or praying about you or not. Hmm? That's a big thing these days. The preacher got to come see me. How about you coming to see the preacher?
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why should I spend gas money running all over Charlton County when you can come here and see me 3 times a week? See, I don't like that. Lump it then, because it's the absolute truth. Amen?
That's true.
Amen?
It's true.
If I come to most of your houses, I'd have to preach at you the next Sunday because all the junk I seen on your coffee table. Say amen right there, because you know it's the truth. Have to go in there wearing them horse blinders so I don't see your beer and your... So we only got Christian music. I know you got Randy Travis and
right.
Mm-hmm. You best come down here and see me, huh? Amen? Mm-hmm. Come down here and just as soon as the preacher, just as soon as the song leader says, now turn around and shake somebody's hand, you just get right with it. Oh, good to see you. God bless you. You might not mean it, but say it anyway.
Right.
You won't be no different than the rest of us hypocrites. Good to see you. Let's go eat somewhere, huh?
Right.
That wouldn't hurt you none either.
Right.
All them Baptists want to do is eat, but no, that ain't true. We want to eat together.
Right.
Now, I will, to be honest, I will eat by myself. But hey, if you want to go to the Mexican restaurant after church, holler at me.
Yep.
Amen? Of course, the one we got in town, you can only afford to eat off the dollar menu, but dollar Mexican's better than none. Amen? I just don't feel the love. The Bible says he that have friends must show himself friendly. Amen? You're dismissed. There's a little flame trail in the carpet where you've run out of here. Once you get to know some of these folks, sit down and chew the fat with them a little bit. You might find out some of them got it rougher than you do. Woe is me. Hey, go sit down with Brother Calvin or some of these folks that's dealing with some hardships in their life that are really getting them down. Go talk with some of the folks in the church that's just getting right with God and they're facing life and death situations, and I mean seriously life-changing things, and find out how bad you got it or not. What you need to do is get that sermon from Wednesday night and find out you got some things to be thankful of. Brother Spike preached a good message Wednesday night, didn't he? Fellowship together give you some joy. I couldn't tell you the times I've rode home and said, that Brother Curtis is a nut, man. The joys that I've had of just talking about some of the crazy people we got in this church. You know it. Listen, I've been to camp meetings. You couldn't number the camp meetings I've been to in my life. I mean, just I've been in church since 1974. I've been to a heap of camp meetings and a heap of revivals. And our church had them at least twice a year, camp meeting, and then all the revivals that we had. And without fail, Brother Curtis, a preacher will come and stand in the pulpit of somebody else's church. Now, my people are so bad, and they do this, and they do that. I'm thankful that I really have never had to do that, never really felt the inclination to do that. You are bad. Amen. But I definitely don't go to other churches and go, y'all don't know what I'm going through down there in folks. No, I just don't know if I can take it. No, I mean, because nobody wants you to come 900 miles to preach just to put them into a fit of depression. Amen. But boy, the stories that I've, Brother Chris and Brother Curtis. And wasn't long after I come to be the pastor here, went fishing with Brother Curtis, and we're out. He said, we're going to look for gators. I'm like, okay. If it's to eat, I'll eat one. And he's shining this flashlight, and he caught this little taillight looking thing over there. I don't know if I should be telling this. It's going to go out over the internet, but I think the statute of limitations is probably over with. This has been like 100 years ago. So we caught this little taillight looking thing over in the brush, and so he starts easing the boat over there. I thought he was going to like throw a fishing hook in there or something with him. And we got over there next to him. That sucker jumped out of the boat. And he come back up with his gator. He's about, wasn't but about that long, but 3 or 4 feet. But I listen, he could be the size of one of these little brown lizards. I ain't jumping out on him in the water. No, sir. And ever since then, I've kind of looked at him and said, now, if it come to a fight, I'm going to get behind him, because a fella whoop up on gators, there's a good chance a man ain't going to stand much chance of him. Amen? But stuff like that, you never forget that. You think, I ain't got no friends. Well, I did. I do got a friend that'll jump on gators. I'm still trying to decide whether Brother Spike's my friend or not. I went hunting with him, and he takes me around these curves like 190 miles an hour. We're supposed to be hunting. We're supposed to be like in a hasty ambush set up to like kill these things. And we're chasing them with trucks. So I ain't been back hunting with him yet. But then we go fishing, and I'm on the front of the boat, and he's driving the boat. And he runs right up into a bush with a big old water moccasin, and I'm having a heart attack. We ain't been fishing together in a while. But stuff like that you never forget. You never forget. Never forget that stuff. Never forget it. Never forget. Never forget some of these fellas preaching some of their first sermons. Nick, little red-headed Nick, get up here and preach a sermon. So nervous he couldn't stand it. I can just barely remember. I can't remember the exact quotation, but something he said was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. I wish I had the tape of it, but the whole church laughed and rolled for it. It was true. It was good. It was profound, but it was funny coming from Nick. And that, won't never forget that. Won't never forget that experience. You say, that stuff just happens at church. Don't happen in your living room. Don't happen over there. Amen. Get up, listen. Brother Mark comes here every year, and he says that line about, I wish that was my burger every year, and y'all laugh every year. Y'all laugh at that like it's the funniest thing you ever heard. You forget that you was actually paying attention. The last year he said that before. But that's, you can't, it don't translate at home. So I watch him on the internet at home. Don't, it's not the same. Not the same at all. Amen? Amen. Brother Mark said, he said, I remember when I first come to this church, he said, Pedro's wife was the meanest woman I ever seen in my life. He said, she told me she didn't like me. He said, but I never will forget the day she hugged my neck and told me she loved me. That don't happen in your living room. Unless you've been fussing with your wife, she might hug your neck and tell you. Any of you men ever had your wife tell you she hated you? I hate you. Yeah. That ain't the fun part, though, is it? Yeah. Amen. You say what? Fellowship with your brethren. You say what? That your joy be full. Yeah. And then, last but not least, let me say this. He said, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship with Christ Himself. Fellowship with God Himself. Verse number 5 and 6, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Would to God that that could be my testimony, that in me was light. Jesus said about Himself, He said, I am the light of the world. But then He turns around to His disciples and says, ye are the light of the world. Would to God that some of the light that's in Christ could be in us. Well, it's going to take that. It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some hard work. The flesh, you and me both, our flesh is bad. It makes us bad guys. It lets us down. But through some discipline. See, I couldn't run 5 miles. I could almost run 5 miles, but couldn't quite make it to 5 miles when I first joined the Marines. But by the time I got out, I could do it. I couldn't do 10,000 push-ups before I joined the Marines. But by the time I got out, I could do 1,000,000. You say, what's the difference? Discipline. When I first got in, I couldn't stand at attention for 45 minutes. But when I got out, I could. What's the difference? Discipline. Some of us can't go a week without entertainment. Some of us can't go a day or 15 minutes without entertainment. Some of us can't go without vanilla ice cream or any such thing as that. But you can with discipline. I'm not saying ice cream's bad, but it is a good illustration for us. Country folks, amen, we like our ice cream and our entertainment and all this stuff. What I'm saying is the sins of this flesh is just what you become accustomed to in this life. But now God has a new life for you. You were, you know, the concerts and the entertainment and going along with the flow. Now God's pulled you out of the flow, set your feet upon a solid rock and established your goings. He put a new song in your heart. He put a new joy in your life. He put a new purpose in your life. You're supposed to be walking with Him now. You're not walking with them anymore. You say, well, I still love them. Well, get them to walk with you.
That's right.
Pull them out of the flow. See, God's got, but you're going to have to have something to offer them. So you can be saved by the grace of God, but be backslidden. In a sense, you don't have anything to offer them because you're walking in the same darkness they are. You need to let that light so shine so they can see where the exit point is. You got to stick that hand out and it be a holy hand. The Bible says to lift up holy hands without wrath and without wrath, without doubting, with conviction of heart. You need to stick out your hand to those that are lost in the flow of this world and say, reach out and live. Look and live. And the joy of pulling those out of death and out of danger and letting them walk with you a while be more than you could stand. The Bible calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's not just a joy you can't describe. It's full of glory. It'll make you go, hey, man. That ever happened to you?
Yeah.
I mean, just be obedient to the Lord 2 or 3 days and then just show up to church one day and just can't help it. Hallelujah. You know what I noticed one time? This is true. This is extra, but it's free. A lot of times when the singing's good or the preacher's good, I say, yeah. Kind of a habit. It's almost like the habitual amen. But you know what? One time I caught myself hollering hallelujah, and it was like doing something inside my soul. I felt good after. Felt like I drank a Red Bull after that. You say why? Because that's a good Bible praise word.
Yeah.
And you can say hallelujah, or you can say hallelujah. Either way you want to, just say it once in a while. You say why? Because it's glory to the Lamb. He deserves it, don't he?
Amen.
God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Living the same life you lived before you got saved, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. Now, let me show you this. Christians are supposed to be light walkers. People who walk in the light. But you know what we are? We're imperfect light walkers.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Look what he says in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Listen, you can follow God and have the joy and be as obedient as you possible can to him. But once you forget that you're a lowly sinner yourself, you can still be doing all those things, but that joy will disappear. I've been reading my Bible, but I got no joy. I've been coming to church, but I got no joy. Well, see, what you forgot is you're a sinner. You're a sinner. See, the man come to the altar and he said, I thank you, God, that I tithe.
Yeah.
Remember that story in the Bible? I thank you, God, that I do all these wonderful things. We had a young man in here not too long ago, and he would stand up and his testimony would always be, I thank God I'm doing right. I thank God I'm doing this. That's a red flag. The red flags go up. The Pharisee come down and said, I thank God I do this. I thank God I do that. And he went to his house the same way he came.
Yeah.
Old fella got down on the altar there and he said, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Yeah, amen.
I wonder where they was doing that public prayer. That was a public prayer. You say, how do you know? Somebody heard them.
Yeah.
They were at the same place. They're trying to get rid of this old-fashioned altar because it's not in the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with it? Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Amen. That fella come to a public place and he got down and said, be merciful to me, a sinner. He went to his house justified. Now, if you was accused of something bad and you went home justified from it, wouldn't you feel good about it? You ever had a judge throw a ticket out? You ever had a judge drop the charges? You go home like this. Yeah, you feel good about it. You know why some of you don't have the joy? You ain't confessed your sins in a long time. You're too busy defending them. Don't call me no sinner. That's what you are, you old hound.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. I remember one time while I was in the Marine Corps, I was out in the middle of the night when I shouldn't have been. I was half drunk when I shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Police car come down the road and he turned around on me and I knew he was coming back for me, so I decided I'd just run from him. Listen, if you're ever going to run from the police on foot, don't be drunk. That's good advice, amen? If you're going to drink, don't run from the law drunk, amen? Just give up. Well, they caught me and they threw me in jail. And I had to explain that to my commanding officer and had to go back to court. I was in a mess because if I'd have gotten in trouble, if they had fined me or put me in jail or something stupid like that, they told me, look, if we find anything in this town that's out of order, we're going to put it on you. Well, luckily they didn't find anything out of order that night. Well, listen here. I went back to the court date and the judge got up there and they read the charges and explained the situation. The police officer got up and gave his testimony exactly what happened. It was all right and good. The judge laughed at him and threw it out of court. He said, this is ridiculous. Throwed it out of court. Now, whether it's ridiculous or not, listen, if I was in his place, I'd have done the same thing. But wouldn't you? You turn around on somebody, they run. That's suspicious behavior. Amen. But the judge thought it was ridiculous and he throwed it out. Said thank you for being a Marine and all this stuff. But when I left, that judgment had justified me. That judgment from the judge who's in control of making those decisions said, nothing wrong here. When I left, I tell you, I'd never felt better in my life. I'm not going to go back to the Marine Corps base and be court-martialed or lose $700 of my paycheck or none of this stuff. I was glad to be set free. Amen? And a lot of times Christians, they miss out on the joy because they've been reading their Bible, they've been going to church, but they forget, hey, there's personal time when you need to get with God and say, I'm sorry about doing that. I mean, because you're not standing there before God on your own. Your Bible says you have Jesus Christ, the advocate. He's your attorney. Going before the Lord before you and said, see these nails? That paid for how stupid he is. See these scars in my side and on my head? That paid for all the wickedness that he got. Then you can get up off the altar and say, that's what I remember that feeling. See, you got saved and you felt like you was walking on cloud nine for 3 or 4 weeks. But the joy of redemption fades and it must be replaced by the joy of obedience, the joy of a fellowship, the joy of declaration. Has he done something good for you? Tell somebody about it. Amen. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and grace this morning. We ask you, oh God, that you'd be very merciful to us as sinners. Be merciful to me, oh God, and help me to do more in my life, God. Help me to declare. Help me to fellowship. Help me to be glad when I see my brethren. Help me to be glad at the opportunity to get together with people who are like-minded, people that I can freely express myself with. Oftentimes, Christians are very hesitant to discuss these things out in the world because there's such a derision against it. And in that sense, they get bottled up on the inside. But here, we're free to express ourselves and to open our hearts and minds to one another. And I pray, oh God, you'd help us to thrive on this kind of an environment rather than to dread it or look for reasons not to be in it. Help us, oh God, to love one another. Help us to love you and fellowship with you. And then, God, I pray that would be the catalyst for us to declare the gospel to a lost and dying world. And I'll thank you and praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen.